Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Robert Maxim's childhood was marked by several sleep time visits to other worlds, past life recollections, and visions of countless alien crafts. In his new book series, Legacy, he offers a glimpse into these extraordinary experiences through the story of one man's journey through several lifetimes. The first installment in a five-book series, Legacy, introduces us to Bill Sullivan, a geologist on Mars whose past life experiences on Earth and other worlds make up the novel's story. Through Bill's eyes, readers will witness an unforgettable tale of human intrigue, deceit, power struggles, and astonishing space battles across the galaxy. While the novel takes place in a futuristic setting, its concepts and descriptions of past accounts are based on scientific fact. Legacy eloquently portrays mankind's present challenges, misconceptions, secret restrictive organizations, and what these can ultimately lead to using past history as a guide. Robert spent 40 years studying science, religion, and the science of light presented by Dr. Ernest L. Norman, which validated his visions that started on July 13, 1973. The author of the Legacy series, frequent guest on the program, back with us to take your questions, Robert Maxim. Robert, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you for having me back on the show, Rick.
This has been way too long. You've been busy moving across country, and we've got this back into the schedule now so we can get started. On today's program, we're going to continue where we've left off the last program, answering your questions. We'll tell you throughout the program how you can submit your questions to Robert. You can submit them to Robert through us, and we'll get them to him and discuss them on a future program. Let's jump into it. We've got a religious question, sort of, to start things off tonight. Genesis 6:4 speaks of giants. What do you make of that? That's the first of two parts. Let's go with that. What do you make of the giants in Genesis 6:4?
Well, I've been asked that question many times, and it's a long explanation, but here we go. The word in Genesis 6:4 is not giants. It's actually Orion. Orion holds a special place in ancient religious worship, and Genesis 6, verse 4, is no exception. The verse has to be read carefully and in its original language in order to obtain its true meaning. Now, translated correctly, the word giant comes from Nephil. Now, Nephil does not mean giant. Instead, it means noble and skillful aliens. Let me repeat that again. Noble and skillful aliens. That might come as a shock to people.
Yes.
Now, of course, the name itself tells where they're from. And it's the giant in the sky. And that giant in the sky is Orion. It's not tall monsters brewing havoc among humans. It's the large constellation of Orion, where these noble and skillful people came from. Now, according to the text, let's see if we can follow this. There were Nephil, or Orionites, in those days living among us. But then it says that the sons of God, Ben Elohim, came from somewhere else and got mixed up with earth women. So it's the Ben Elohim, not the Nephil, that were the ones that interfered with earth life and impregnated women here. So there you have the true and complete story of Genesis giants. And maybe we're dealing here with a case of abductions and genetic manipulation. Because if you read Assyrian lore and the Anunnaki, that's kind of what it describes. So go figure. There's definitely got to be some sort of a link between the two.
Interesting.
But that's basically what this means. Nephil are noble, skillful aliens from the Orion constellation. And the impregnator of women and those that caused havoc on this planet were the Ben Elohim, or the sons of gods. By the way, Elohim is a plural word. It means gods. El is singular. But when you say Elohim, it's not one, it's many gods.
Robert Maxim, our guest in the program, explaining that and giving our minds something to consider here, a little different interpretation, translation than what many people are used to. You're listening to This Week in America. We do a video version of this. Robert is coming to us by Skype. A video version is up on YouTube. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Click on videos. You'll see this along with many others, 30-some programs we've done with Robert, all on video. If you want to listen to the past programs, go to our iPod channel. You can do that once again by going to the website, thisweekinamerica.us. There was a second part to that question. What would it take for brothers to get involved and be part of life here on Earth?
Well, for us to be partly like them at heart, not just looks. So, it's like the old adage, tell me who you're with and I'll tell you who you are. So, the question is, are we like them in any way? No. Do we objectify our every thought and don't give in to emotions? Do we testify these internal monsters that we have to one another without fear of being ridiculed? Do we want absolutely nothing from no one? Do we give everything that we have to everyone else? Do we get angry when someone tells us that we're in the wrong? And do we love those people and ourselves regardless of criticism? That's how these people are. That's not how we are. And as long as we're not like them, they will not be involved with us. So give that some serious thought. If we want them to be with us, or if we want to reincarnate in another world, we must be like them. So for the wise, the gift and the offer is there. We can change. We can turn our lives around. And we can be like them. But it's up to us to choose that path and work hard for it.
Interesting answer to that question, and I hope that answers the question. I think that it does, and we've talked about that before. And if you go to the past programs, you're going to find there's a wealth of information there. We've done, I think this is the 38th program with Robert. New question, do you think it's possible that mankind will ever get to meet aliens from other civilizations? You touched on that, and your answer is probably going to be something like, not unless we make a lot of changes, changes here.
Well, in spite of all of that, Rick, people have met them in the past, and those meetings do take place once these two season. That's basically for the security and well-being, not only of our brothers, but also they have to be very careful with our egos. So it has to be in a controlled environment. But even in spite of evidence, there are some that reject that these contacts have happened, mostly out of jealousy. Well, it didn't happen to me, so how can it happen to them? You know, with a wicked heart and doing nothing about it, how can aliens ever be with us?
The website, if you have a question, want to send it to Robert. Robert's website is rgaetan, rgaetan.com. Our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Both the websites, there are areas where you can submit questions, and please do, and we'll get to those on future programs. Also information, Robert's got a wealth of information on his website. Another informational website is unarianseunited.com. You'll find all of that by linking on to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Question, is it possible aliens visit us frequently but are in a different dimension that we can't see? I'm thinking of them being like guardian angels, possibly, guiding us without our direct knowledge. So are they there? Maybe, and we don't even know it.
It's yes to all of the above. Let's consider they are our more advanced brothers, and they do care for us, but they have lines of engagement, as I described before, that they must obey on their missions for their good and our good. Now, some beings are not, shall we say, friendly, and one example of that is who our government has made a deal with. So there are things that we have to watch out for, but those that are our positive brothers would never interact with us unless it is a perfect scenario and the outcome will be positive for both parties.
She makes a reference to guardian angels. Would someone, would one of the brothers actually maybe prevent us from an accident, that type of scenario?
It happens all the time. Brothers can actually help us in that sense, but sometimes we have to go through that accident experience because we set it up to go through that experience in order to evolve and to learn from that experience. Our higher self is the one that, if we're not ready for that experience and it's not in our life plan, will give us a warning, more so than another being. So do consider that you do have a brother built in, a guardian angel built in, and that's your higher self. Now, the word angel itself is not some magical winged being. The word angel means messenger. Rick, you could be a messenger if you bring in good tidings. So,
okay. I'm trying. I'm trying.
Something to remember there.
This question is interesting because I mentioned in the beginning the basis for the Legacy series, which, by the way, fascinating reading. It's all based on scientific fact. It's all based on Robert's recollections. It's available at Amazon and the usual places for books. You can find information, of course, at Robert's website, rgaten.com, and you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The question I'm referring to is this: if we ever make it to Mars, what will we see?
Oh. Well, this might surprise people, but you will find water, you will find vegetation, you will find buildings, you will find flying craft, you will find animals. Yes, you will find all of those things, and I have NASA pictures that show them on my website. As a matter of fact, if you like, I'd be glad to share my screen and show you.
Let's do that. One of the benefits of Skype, and if you are listening to the program, not watching, if you go to our YouTube channel, you'll be able to watch the show with Robert. It's actually labeled as Legacy 38, and you can see the slide demonstration show that he's going to have for us. You can also go to his website and see these same pictures. Robert, go ahead. I'm anxious.
Okay, there we go. Is it coming through?
Yep.
Okay. Now, if you go to the website, I do have all of these images. I even have, under evidence, I have ancient alien images. I'll probably show you a couple of those in a minute, but I'll concentrate on Mars now, since that was the question asked. Behold these pictures. Now, this is a rover picture of the ground. Take a look at this right here. That looks like a valve, doesn't it?
Yes.
Now, I took a look at the probing arm of the rover. The blade system does not make marks like that at all, not even trying twice. Also, take a look at this ledge. See that ledge?
Yep, very clear.
Okay. So this must be some sort of control mechanism. This was found in the ground. So it's a valve and crank, as I called it. That's one picture. Now I'm going to go ahead and move through these pretty quickly. Look at this crater formation and the building inside. Now here's another one. This is an older picture taken by Mariner. Look at this complex on the ground.
Fascinating.
Now this is an incredible picture. This is Valles Marineris. And what you see here, stuck to the side of the canyon, this is metallic. Now, look at the symmetry of the windows. This is like some sort of observation deck built right into the hill. This must be over 300-400 feet wide. And the symmetry and the shining metal proves it. But that's not all. Take a look at, I can't put the mouse over it because it will put the arrow on, but look at these facilities here, those hangars. You see them?
Oh, yes, very clearly.
Okay, let's move on. Now, this is an incredible photograph. Again, another Robur photograph. If you note the top of the hill, here's a close-up. Feast your eyes on that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, here's another one. Look at that creature in the near distance.
Yes.
You're about to see it again. Close up. There you go.
Okay. Okay.
Looks like this is mama or papa.
Yes.
And there's the calf. And this was, I believe it was one of the first Robur that landed. Behind this picture is the actual track and the opening chute. Well, there it is. There's the opening chute of the Robur. It went down. It did its tests, took this photograph, and they showed up right there. Now, it's a very curious type of creature.
Yes.
It looks like a bear, but the very interesting facial eye, ear, mouth type configuration. I have no idea how they feed themselves, but there is sufficient water on the planet for such creatures to survive, and the body cavity does match a low air pressure environment. So there you have it. There's animals. Now here's another animal. Look at that.
Okay.
As some sort of a spider, crab type of creature.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be around that.
No, that's nasty looking, isn't it? That
nasty looking.
I would not want to get in their way.
No. Now, this is a curious set of moving object pictures. This is the first photograph. You see nothing there. Taken again, look what showed up.
Okay.
Now, this is a first picture, second picture, and something showed up there. We have no idea what that is, but it flew right into the picture. This is one of my favorite pictures. This is on the northern side of the planet. And what you're looking at here is some sort of an underground piping system. That ball protrusion that you see there, just the ball itself, is the size of a football field, the whole stadium.
Wow.
So these pipes are enormous, and they are all over the planet. Now, it's hard to tell whether they are aqueducts or if they are actually metro systems, but they are in the dozens all over the planet. Now, here's an evidence of a lake, water.
These, by the way, you've got to see these. These are fascinating pictures, and you'll find them on Robert's website, rgaten.com, or, of course, the YouTube version of this on our YouTube channel.
Now, here's another lake, and you can see the reflections on the water. That's another good picture. There's water on the ground. This is Opportunity 2004. You can see water right there, right next to the Robur. This is a humidity picture. It's not water, but it shows humidity. Look at this picture. That's a frozen lake.
Okay.
More lakes. And what you see around, I'll give you a close-up in just a moment. Those dots are coming. More lakes, more of these dots. It's actually a forest. And look how thick it is. If I've flown over South America, over the jungles, and you know how tight they are, how
yes.
thick
yes.
they are, this is even thicker. And there's a picture of the trees close up. This particular tree is about half a mile wide.
And these are official government photographs? Is that fair to say?
I don't think any amateur went to Mars and took them.
Well, that's true. So these are these are government.
These are government pictures. And there's a spacecraft right there. So you have just witnessed pictures from Mars.
And that's that answers the question, what will we find there? And we just saw what we will find there. Probably surprising a lot of people. You speculate, but you've got the pictures there that show conclusively, I would say, that you know what you will find there. That was fascinating. And again, if you go to the evidence section on Robert's website, you'll find the pictures there. And you can see that that presentation that we just had by going to the YouTube channel for This Week in America and looking at that. Another question, I think we've touched on this briefly, but I'll ask it for the viewer. Can aliens influence our actions on Earth, either good or bad? Well, I guess we talked about the good part of it, possibly a guardian angel type of arrangement. Can they influence in a negative way?
They can do both, not only physical, but also spiritual. Now, these beings, you have good and bad ones out there, like I mentioned. They're not supposed to interfere, only deliver a message that you left for yourself before being born. Now, that's important. What I mean by that is they're not going to give you something that you're not ready for. So most of us, before we are born, we make concessions, we make deal, should we say, for our life plan. We're going to receive this. We're going to go here. I'm going to meet Rick. I'm going to have radio interviews. Oh, and by the way, these aliens are going to come and talk to me and refresh my memory on something. Or they're going to show me a spacecraft because it was already pre-planned. So that's why I say deliver messages that you left for yourself before being born. They can't go beyond that. But there are beings that want you to have a bad day and the planet scrubbed of its resources. That's what this government signed up for. And you know, it's the thing of give us technology and take the people. They are expendable for the cause. So that's the difference between the types of beings that we're experiencing.
Interesting. I think we answered that question. Might have scared you in answering that, but I think we answered the question. From what you have seen, how advanced are other worlds? And we just saw a little bit of that with the Mars photos there. How advanced are the other worlds?
Oh, you have everything, all the way from worlds like us, worlds beneath us, in development, both in theology as well as technology. But there's some others that are not even physical. They're spiritual. And there's worlds above that are not even spiritual. They're ethereal, celestial. Just goes on and on infinitely. But in comparison, let me paint a picture with this analogy. We are basically animals compared to the least developed worlds. We are viruses to the next level up and atoms to the next higher. So, but yet, there are beings higher still.
Robert Gayton, our guest on the program. Robert Maxim, our guest on the program. The website is rgayton, GAETAN.com. All the information there, and there is so much valuable information there. And we've got a lot of it on our website, too, after 37 of these programs, now into, 38. Interesting question here. I read a fascinating story in the Washington Post about the possibility of some advanced civilization existing here on Earth millions of years before humans as we know them showed up. What are your thoughts? Could this actually be true?
It is true. Countless contactees actually have confirmed it, and it's no secret. We even have historical documents on that, and I've vetted at least 40 that, for example, prove that Atlantis existed, even its location. You also have you have Lemuria, you have Shambhala, you have other colonies set up by other worlds through the ancient times. It's all real. Yes, it's all real.
Next question. You've had visions most of your life. When you have your visions and visits, do you feel you are being trained for work they hope you do here on Earth? Do you feel you're being used for a specific mission?
Yes, it's actually my mission. This happens daily. New information downloads are are there to learn from and to pass on. This happens to everyone, but honestly, who's paying attention? As to my mission, I assigned it to myself before being born, and my higher brothers support me on that. Sometimes I deviate this way, and they help inspire me back on track. I'm not perfect, but it involves learning, overcoming, and passing on what I see from time to time as pure as possible. In the telling, for me, there is learning and there's reinforcement. So sharing is an important part of personal development. So if anyone has any experiences, don't hold them back. They were meant for you to repeat and to share. And don't be afraid of doing so, because you're doing yourself a grave disfavor by doing that.
It seems like you are so knowledgeable, but as we talk, it sounds like you're going through, I don't want to say an evolution, but you're going through, every day is a learning experience for you, I take it.
Oh, let me not tell you the surprises that I learn. It's just no limit to the surprises I get. And I do have my battles. I have my battles of Armageddon all the time. Analyzing my thoughts, my feelings, having to decline negative thoughts and feelings. I am no different than anyone else. We all have those tests, and it's important that we put our full attention on succeeding for our own sake.
You're listening to This Week in America. Our line, our website is thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on directly to Robert's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. His website is rgaten.com. Question, let us know. We'll talk about it on a future program. Back to questions. You often mention universal law. Exactly what is it?
Universal law. Universal law is the flow of creation. Let's say it's a standard operating procedure of the universe and life, the soul's life. It's the do's and don'ts. I'm writing a page on my website about universal laws. It's available now in the science tab. It's emerging, and I'll be adding more to it. I outline it as follows. Everything for everyone else. Nothing for me. Serve the elements. That wraps up universal law. So again, everything for everyone else, nothing for me, serve the elements. That's the basis of the law.
Pretty simple.
Yes.
Not complicated. We should be able to understand that and follow it. It doesn't take like a post-grad degree to try to figure that out. It's real simple and laid out there for you. Information, yeah. We keep referring back to the website. So much information at Robert's website. Viewer has a question here. This is interesting. What is heaven? Does it really exist? And is it for eternity? So we've got three actual good questions comprised into one there. Three good ones. Three for one.
Yeah. I'm glad the listener asked this question, because there are a lot of people that are really confused about this. Heaven. Heaven is not another planet. Heaven is not necessarily a cloud with pearly gates. Heaven is a higher dimensional celestial world. It's just one of your stopovers before you evolve into an even higher heaven. You visit these worlds between Earth lives, even when you sleep, to train for your next life or your next day until you can permanently reside there. Oh, they are very real. And if you see legacy pictures, I show them there. So heaven is not just there because you were a good little boy or girl and you got a pass. And you go there and you spend eternity. No. Heaven is a stopover place for learning. So you return, and then you go back to heaven, then you come back, then you go back to heaven until you don't have to come back here anymore. And then that's your home. And after you then you start the process all over again from that heaven, and you start learning in a higher heaven, and then you go back and forth, until you live in that higher heaven, and that's eternal evolution. It just goes on and on and on.
It's just fascinating information, and again, if you have questions, we would love to... I say we like I'm going to answer them. I will ask them, and Robert was is the knowledge behind this. So I say we, I ask, he answers the questions. It's always fascinating, the answers, and they spur more questions, and I'm sure we will have more for the next program. Here's a one that's interesting. Well, they're all very interesting questions. This one, several parts to it. I was fascinated by a video seminar I saw recently. The speaker maintains that time is an illusion. Everything is happening now, no past or future. It all exists right now. Through the illusion of time, we can experience different versions of ourselves. Your thoughts, do you feel that time piercing is a real thing? Interesting concept.
Yeah, I'm trying to conceive the point so I can answer it appropriately. I'd say right now is the illusion. Past and future, it's what's real. Life here is really a dream. Life when you sleep or after you die, that's your real life. So we have to put time into that perspective. I know it sounds strange, I know, but your present life seen from another dimension either already took place or will yet happen. In Legacy, I had an experience where I was, you know, writing, and all of a sudden, I had this line come to me that the 1945 Nagasaki nuke caused the Lisbon earthquake back in 1600, 345 years prior. And I said, I'm not going to write that. No. I'm going to get myself into a load of trouble. I can't prove this. Well, you know, and I put it off and I put it off. I stopped writing for about 3-4 weeks. And this thing just kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And so, okay, I'll write it in. And it wasn't until years later that I realized how time works and how we are locked in this time bubble. Right?
Okay.
Around this time bubble is another dimensional bubble. And from that dimension, you can punch in anywhere in your timeline and go back to the dinosaur age, go to 5,000 years in the future, come today. You can do time travel in a way. It's not fiction. It is doable. But you have to realize that this central core where you live is static time. It is sequential. And it keeps moving. However, in dimensions around it, that's not the case. So I'll give you another example here. The destruction of Atlantis is still, from way back then, it's still causing dimensional time portal issues today in the Bermuda Triangle. So you see, the present is the after effect. The present is the after effect of past and future. I have a friend. I can't mention his name, but he lives in Florida, and he was headed down down the turnpike, headed south towards Miami. In a split second, he was teleported, car and everything, from that spot, which was, I think, 5-10 miles north of the Dolphin Stadium, right to the 836 loop, which is in the middle of Miami, just south of the Miami International Airport, just like boom, boom. So that's what some of these effects can do. It's just one example. And my friend is not alone. This has happened to a lot of people. You hear reports from the Bermuda Triangle that they were flying and they got to Miami half an hour ahead of schedule. How'd you do that? There was a ship, the Cyclops. I think it was the Cyclops. It was just found. It was lost for I don't know how long. And it was found in a place where people gather all the time. It just showed up. So this is a very deep subject, but I'm glad it was asked, because hopefully it will help clarify a lot of issues with time travel and time concerns, especially what the past is, the present, and the future.
Boy, you gave us a lot to consider there. We're going to play this tape back a number of times to get everything you just dropped on us there. Fascinating stuff. Robert Maxim, M-A-X-X-I-M, our guest. His website is rgaetan, rgaetan.com. Also information at the website unarianseunited.com. You can link on to those websites by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A question, is it possible Earth could be destroyed because of our selfish, ego-driven lifestyle? Could it be destroyed and we bring it on ourselves?
By us, yes. And we have many times. Look at Atlantis. Look at Egypt. Look at the Roman Empire. Look at Greece. Earth is actually a quarantined world. It's a prison. This is where beings come from all over the universe to experience this level of negativity, to cleanse their negative tendencies and to move on after several incarnations. They figure out, you know, this doing all these negative things is not really good for you. Now, if you destroy this planet, or if other beings destroy this planet because it's wicked or evil, where are all of these defiant souls going to go? Enough that a single world has been wrecked, as this one has. Please, let's not make two. So let's keep this world for the purposes of working out our negative karma and learning that the negative way is not good for you. That it's worth the effort to be analytical, to be objective, and to be completely honest with yourself. That any time you have a negative thought or selfish desire, don't forget universal law, nothing for me. If you have any emotions or thoughts that says, I want something for me, I want this, or I really love this individual because this individual is pretty handsome, whatever, you got to stop and think, what's making that difference? Is it something that you want for yourself? And why doesn't another person have something worthwhile to consider and to fall in love with? So all of those things, just an example. We have to be dead honest with ourselves. Without that, we're not getting out of here. Without that, we're not living with aliens or meeting them anytime soon.
Moving on with the next question, is there a movie that accurately portrays alien life, life on other planets? Looking forward to the Legacy movie that you mentioned. Is there anything out there that's even close to accurate, or somebody actually captured what it's like?
Well, I don't like to toot my own horn.
Go ahead.
But honestly, Legacy is it. No other movie or story will do aliens, past lives, advanced technology, and life principles justice like Legacy will. It just isn't anything.
And how, the Legacy series, by the way, is available at Amazon. I know you're working and progressing. The Legacy movie, how close are we to maybe getting that in a theater near you or a TV screen near us?
Well, good news. The script reviewers have already reviewed the first two episodes. They're waiting on episode 3, and I'm rushing to get episode 3 out to them. And as soon as they have episode 3, I've got to start. They're going to start working on it. I have to start working on 4, get that out to them, and then I've got to work on 5. So I'm like rush, so that they can get all of the story together, start making the final manuscript, and start moving forward.
So we are making progress on the Legacy series. Look for more volumes of the series, and look for possibly a movie coming up here sometime in the near future. With all our scientific advancements, it seems we are still in the dark ages when it comes to the afterlife. People of the past knew more than we do.
That's right. The listener is dead on. Boy, I wished I could take that statement right there and post it on my website. And I wish I could give the listener credit, say, the listener, Josh, said this, or Jane. Very true. See, I have to go to history here. In order for Christianity to be unique, to be different than other beliefs, reincarnation had to be scrubbed from the records, because reincarnation was the de facto back then. There was no other way to subjugate people to a new religious rule of law. There was no way. I will be publishing a scientific book soon. That's another book that will have scientific proof of reincarnation. Now, it's already on my website under the Science tab. You will see different subjects about reincarnation and the proof of them. But there will be one that is called Soul and Energy. Soul and Energy.
Okay.
The scientific proof, even mathematical proof for reincarnation and the soul, you will find in that document. I'm going to try to upload a fresh new copy tonight that is pretty much finished and is almost ready for publishers. And I would love for listeners to read it, and if they have any questions or something they don't understand, email me. Send me an email with your concerns, and I will work to try to clarify it. It's a very difficult scientific subject to explain, so it makes sense to me, but I want it to make sense for others. And if it's too complicated, please email me. Work with me, and I will try to get it clarified.
Where will we find that on the website?
If you go to the Science tab, under the Science tab, look for Soul and Energy. And you click on that link, it will take you right to this document.
Perfect. I'll write that down. So if anybody has any questions, we can pass that along to them. Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, rapidly running out of time. Hopefully time for a question or two more. See what happens when you haven't been here for a while and we still got pages of questions that we need to get to. Do all humans have eternal life?
In the one body, no. But your consciousness, yes, returning countless times until they make spirit worlds their home.
That was interesting, and this sort of ties in here, and people are fascinated by what happens when life ends for us here. The question is there a judgment day? I'm trying to find out what happens when we die, who determines our status in the new life, and how soon does that happen? A lot of questions there.
Oh, well, you know, judgment happens each second of your life. It doesn't happen at the end of the last curtain call someday. Upon death, the mind, let me explain how death works. Upon death, the mind goes where it knows and it likes. So what you do today is what's going to take you either to the desirable place or the not too happy place. Today's tastes and your objectivity, like I mentioned before, they make in between and next life experiences what they are. So where you go is what you have in you. It's like a magnet. It attracts iron, but it does not attract porcelain. So you are your own judge and executioner. No one else is. Now, it could take several years for you to return, or maybe not. You might be back the next day. It all depends on others that you need to work out past karma out with, being present on earth while you are also. So it's like reincarnation is by appointment.
Interesting. And as you've mentioned, I think so many times tonight, if I'm understanding correctly, we really control our destiny, don't we?
We can
change course if we're aware that a course needs to be changed.
That's right, man. As I crudely say to people sometimes, sometimes I go to drastic measures to explain things. You will be good, and you will think positively if somebody holds a gun to your head. So it proves
okay.
A little crude, I'm sorry, but it proves a point.
It gets the point across, yes.
That's right, yes.
The time is up on this one, but we'll be back for Legacy 39, and we will finish the questions we have. We encourage new questions. You can do that by going to thisweekinamerica.us. There's a submission, a comment section there. Just send us an email with your question. We'll get them to Robert, and we'll answer them in the in a future program. Or go to Robert's website, rgaetan.com. If you can't remember that, you can go to thisweekinamerica.us and find the tab for Robert. You can listen to past programs, watch past programs there as well. Robert, we covered a whole lot of ground tonight. This has been fun once again. Yes. We'll be back in a few weeks, and we'll do it again. Thank you once again for being with us on the program. I know you're quite busy. Keep working on those legacy episodes so we can get this movie out real soon. But in the midst of all that, come back for more questions. So thank you so much for being with us on the program. Thank you.
And I truly thank the listeners for their openness and contributions. This show would be nothing without them. I really, really appreciate
their participation. They really come up with good, solid questions.
And good
we do, we do appreciate that. We appreciate
we had
that.
Great ones tonight.
And
yes.
Keep the questions coming in. Information available at the website thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.